Today, with so much uncertainty in our lives, it's understandable to feel stressed, anxious, worried, or frustrated. It's normal. But it's easy to check your stress and get help for your mental health with free resources from CalHope. Make a game plan by calling our warm line at 833-317-4673 or try our secure and confidential live chat today at calhope.org. CalHope, proud partner of the San Jose Sharks.
He scores! William Eklund caps an astounding comeback. The Sharks win it!
You're listening to Morning Tide on the Sharks Audio Network.
Star! Fabian Zetterlund on a one-time pass. Cooks the defense as a kid. Dick shoot, star! A spectacular rush from end to end by Mikael Granlund.
Now, here's your host, Ted Ramey.
Nothing to score. 10:17 to go, first period. We're at SAP Center at San Jose. First of two meetings on the year between the Sharks and Buffalo. Zetterlund intercepts the puck. He had Eklund breaking in, but the pass, he had to kind of stretch out to keep it in, but he did that. Sends back. Wallman the shot. Nice save. Rebound. Score! Fabian Zetterlund was there for the rebound. It gets by Reimer. At 9:59 of this first period, the Sharks draw first blood. They lead the Sabres by the score of 1-0. And for Fabian Zetterlund, that is going to be goal number 8 on the year.
Yeah, I don't know if we were pressing. I think we just kind of didn't. We got away from what we were doing in the first and second period for the first 10 minutes of that third period. And there's two goals in the back of our net. So we got to learn from it and continue to figure this recipe to win hockey games in this league is to play 60 minutes, and we're not there for 60 yet.
All right, good morning, everyone. First off, before I get into anything in the game last night, to all of you that I saw yesterday at the game, whether it was at the teal carpet, whether it was at the South Bar, whether it was walking back and forth between the radio booth with Dan Rizanowski and down to the South Bar as like I met the sisters, Erica and Monica. Great seeing everyone, hearing all the nice things you had to say. Really just a great celebration of a day for the franchise, for Joe Thornton. No, the Sharks didn't walk away with a win, but when you get to be a part of a celebration like that, it was just a really, really special day. And again, a big thanks to everyone for coming out, for being a part of the teal carpet out there. The atmosphere was incredible. Tara Sloan and I just could not believe how much passion the fans showed. When Joe Pavelski came strutting up, you could hear the crowd get so excited. Jason Demers, Scott Hannon, we talked to so many guys that were out there. Rafi Torres, it was great seeing him. I mean, just a phenomenal day. And, I really look at the outcome of it being a loss as almost not secondary, but it was definitely not the story of the day, right? Like, we all had enough things going on. We had so much happiness. We had so much fun. It was so great to celebrate Jumbo that I think everyone can walk away with a smile on their face, even if the Sharks didn't win the game. But, you know, the emotion that we saw, the story from Douglas Murray about Jumbo and his wife giving a home to a, you know, homeless woman and her two children. Stories like that about Joe and his family, you know, hearing those things for the first time, incredible. And, you know, you just get to learn about the way that people regard Jumbo. And I've been talking about it time and time again for the last couple of weeks. Everybody wants to talk more about Jumbo than they do the Jumbo, the man that is, than they do his play on the ice. And that just doesn't happen by accident. I mean, everyone's in awe of who he is as a hockey player because he's easily one of the all-time greats. That goes without question. He's an immediate Hall of Famer. You can't even begin to debate that fact. But when you get to talking about Joe Thornton, the man, it seems like that's where everybody else gets so excited, gets so just, you know, willing to share all these stories and memories. And, you know, I asked Joe Pavelski on the carpet if, you know, about the time that, you know, they got the sewer truck, and, you know, he knew exactly what I was talking about. And then, you know, you bring up these stories to other guys and they double down with the same, you know, exact story and the same exact, essence of saying like, yeah, like no matter how many of these there are, you have a million more stories just like it. And that's just the kind of person that Jumbo was. So a phenomenal day, though. The teal carpet was absolutely just amazing. A credit to, you know, everybody in the Sharks front office for the entire day. I know that Scotty Emmerich was behind, he was the man leading the charge on all of the Jumbo festivities. And obviously he's done this before with the Marlowe thing. And, you know, we've seen these with the Giants in particular, these big ceremonies. And, this, I think, is the best one we've seen. And that's not to take a knock on any of the other ones we've seen, whether it's from any of the other franchises in the Bay Area or with the Patty Marlowe one. But this one was truly a spectacular, spectacular show. So, yeah, just absolutely amazing work. But Scotty Emmerich, John Gustafson, Jonathan Becker, Jim Spiracco, I know they had their hands all over it. It was great seeing Hasso in the house last night. I know that he loves being here and watching his Sharks. He was so excited for that. You know, when they show him on camera, you could tell he was excited but also humbled in the moment. So just, you know, a great day. An absolutely great day to see everything about the franchise be celebrated, because the fans did not ever get the chance to celebrate a championship. I feel that is coming in the future. But yesterday felt like you were celebrating a championship. It felt like you were giving everyone the opportunity. And then, you know, watching Dan and Randy get to host that event, it was just, for me, you know, somebody who's known them both for a long time now, someone who's been listening to them for a long time, and someone who also does play-by-play, I think the fact that Joe went out of his way in his speeches to tell Dan and Randy and Drew that he hears their voices calling the most memorable moments of his career, I mean, that's the thing, guys. I can tell you, you know, you never expect as a play-by-play announcer to somebody, a player to come up and tell you that, you know, their calls mean something. And so for Joe to go out of his way and say that, it's an ultimate class move. And for me, I was touched by it because I know how much that means to Dan and to Randy and to Drew. And that was just, it was amazing. I can't say it enough. I encourage all of you to go and check out the Teal Carpet, which is still hosted on YouTube. I am sure that the Sharks YouTube will be hosting the Jumbo Ceremony or NBC Sports California shortly enough. I can't imagine that they would not want that out to be there and be able to be watched by everyone. But yeah, just absolutely an incredible day. You know, Joe Pavelski was smiling the entire time. It was great to see, you know, Jason Demers in the house. He's such a friendly, nice guy. And you know, I always get to chat with him, and more in brief or professional settings. But, you know, just to see him a little bit out there having fun with all the guys. Scotty Hannon, you know, he was smiling the entire time. And, you know, all these guys, they're so much fun to work with. They're so much fun, you know, to have around. Rafi Torres also just, you know, I know that he was such a polarizing figure when he came to San Jose, but he is such a cool figure. And I know that he has a, you know, an interesting history with the NHL, but he is another one who just, I really was struck by the thoughtfulness of the things that he had to say and his thoughts on things. He's a fascinating figure when you get down to it. A lot of these guys, whether it's Douglas Murray, whether it is, you know, Owen Nolan was in the house, whether it's Joe Pavelski, you know, whoever it is of all these guys, we're really blessed in San Jose to have such good people, such kind-hearted people that in addition to being such amazing hockey players, we're such good people on and off the ice. And I think that that's, you know, and a large part of credit to Joe Thornton, because, you know, a lot of times, and I talked about this with Brent Burns, which he pointed out something that I thought was really interesting. He said that not everybody who's a great athlete can open up to be a great person in that same way. And I think that that's part of it. And I think Joe, in not being as compartmentalized, and he was to an extent, but in being open about just how of a gregarious and friendly fellow it was, it allowed other players here with the Sharks franchise to do the same. I mean, Tommy Wingles, you know, just an absolute gem of a human, you know, getting his stories. You know, I'm trying to think, Boosh, he was there yesterday. Scott Thornton, his cousin. I mean, all these guys, they're all such classy, friendly, you know, just well-intended human beings. And you don't see all that happen and all of that converge around Joe Thornton by accident. So just a lot of fun, a lot of great memories. And again, credit to everybody behind that. You know, I was just lucky enough to take part on the Teal Carpet, on the pre and post game and intermission coverage, and on the radio broadcast. One of the busiest, yet easily one of the most fulfilling days of my professional career, because you just got to take it all in from a different perspective. I mean, I always tell people the reason that it's, you know, I don't think of it as work is because if you came up to me and said in, you know, 2010, for instance, when I was just getting going with my professional career, 2009, 2010, said, "Hey, Ted, you know, in a decade and a half, you're going to be manning the Joe Thornton retirement ceremony, and it'll be a 12-hour day. You'll be running around nonstop." I would have said, "Sure, sign me up. You're going to pay me for that? Yeah. What do I get a free meal? Actually, I didn't even have time to eat yesterday. I had toast 8 in the morning, and then otherwise I was just absolutely running around like a mad person. But it was fun. Just an absolutely fun day. So, again, thank you to everybody who came out. Thank you to everybody who said hello and had something nice to say. It was just great seeing all the people out there coming out, watching them cheer at the teal carpet, watching them cheer behind us on camera for the intermission coverage and the pre- and post-game coverage. Just an awesome, awesome day. And then to all the former players, it was great. You know, thank you for coming out and speaking with all of us on the pre- and post-game coverage and the teal carpet. It was phenomenal. It was a great night. It was a great day. It was everything you could have hoped it would be. No, the Sharks did not get a win out of this one, but again, I thought they played a decent game. It just didn't work out. But all right, we'll transfer now more to that game coverage. But yeah, just an incredible day and an incredible human in Joe Thornton and a collection of incredible humans who came out to celebrate him, whether they were front office members, whether they were former players. Awesome, awesome day. Now, as for the game, I actually liked a lot of what I saw in the first 30 minutes from San Jose. The shot volume in the first period, I believe they had 16 shots on goal. That was very impressive to see. And I know that some of you get a little bit tired of hearing the shot volume chorus from some of us, but you know, there is a strong correlation between shot volume and scoring. And I know that seems rather obvious, and you just had to hear Joe Thornton saying, I know I could hear you all telling me to shoot, but I had my own designs. And yes, Joe Thornton is one of the all-time greats. I'm going to listen when he speaks. However, I do think that when you look at the way the Sharks scored these goals, it was the first one in particular was Wallman, you know, blowing one in from the blue line, and then Fabian Zetterlund is there to pick up the loose change. That is the type of play where you need to be, you know, just putting shots on net, make something happen, make something out of nothing. And even if it doesn't look like you've got a good lane, once you put the puck into a dangerous place, good things are going to happen. And so that's where I come down on it. You just need to make something happen. And in that instant, the Sharks did make something happen. So I appreciate that. And they had the lead. They gave up the game-tying goal. Then they had the lead at 2-1. And then they gave up the game-tying goal again. But the thing that I really, you know, look at this game is that even though the Sharks had a good power play, you know, performance in terms of the way they were moving the puck, the way that they were ultimately, just looking very, very coherent and cohesive on the overall power play, it let them down. Like, they didn't come up with the big goals in the big moments. They had multiple opportunities, but instead, every time they were on the power play, they came up empty. And then at the critical moment of the game, when it's 2-2 and they have a power play opportunity, they gave up a shorthanded goal. And that was the one that was just like, wow, that actually just happened. And you can go back and listen to the broadcast with Dan, and I'm sitting there telling him, I said, Dan, this is a critical moment of the game. This is, you know, where the Sharks need a moment, where the game could be decided. I just didn't think it was going to be in the way of a shorthanded goal. And that was really, really hard to see just because it felt like a moment for San Jose. You have all that emotion. You have that pent-up energy in the building. Everybody's waiting for the roof to come off. And instead, you have an ultimate moment of deflation where you give up a shorthanded goal. But, you know, it tells you about where the Sharks are and where they need to go. And I also talk about the importance of this homestand because it is a brutal, brutal schedule after this four-game homestand. They've got the Kings, the Senators, and Seattle next Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Then they go on the road to Seattle on Saturday, and then they go to the East Coast where it's at Washington, at Tampa, at Florida, at Carolina, and then at St. Louis. So, yeah, that is a very tough schedule for San Jose. I would hope that they are able to, get at least two wins out of those six on the road. But that's going to be a very tough stretch, which means you got to really maximize these next three games. But, you know, ultimately maximizing these games is the Sharks learning from their mistakes. And I think that, you know, the mistake out of last night's game is I don't know that they specifically took their foot off the gas in this game. It just looked like they were stymied enough by James Reimer, who, credit to him, he had a great game and has had some great games in this building, and he was, you know, on it last night. But, you know, they were stymied enough to where it seemed to make them a little bit tentative as the game went on. Buffalo started catching up in their terms of their overall shot volume. The shots had the shots on goal, almost half of them came for the Sharks in that first period when they had 16 on goal. And another part of that 16 on goal with the Sharks creating opportunities with active sticks and being interruptive and disruptive, because Buffalo turned over the puck 14 times in that first period, which is a single period high in the NHL. But, you know, that's the Sharks being active, being productive, making things happen, taking control of the game. That's got to be something more and more that San Jose focuses on and can look back at the film and say, we did this well, we did this, we did this, we did this. Because there's always something to take away from a loss. You can't just say, well, you know, the formula when all was said and done didn't yield 2 points, so we have to blow it up. No, I mean, you can look about that game against St. Louis. The Sharks were a much worse team in that one, and they walked away with a point. However, this was a game where the Sharks did some positive things and walked away with nothing. That's because sports aren't fair. You know, they're flawed, you know, as well as the rules and everything makes it an even competition. You know, the outcome is not always determined by performance, which is, you know, part and parcel of why sports are so cruel and part and parcel of why it's so much fun to watch and take it all in, because, you know, the unexpected and the crazy can happen. But this was one where the Sharks played for 30 minutes, really, really good hockey, and then kind of faded in the second period and then faded particularly in the first 10 minutes of the third period. Started to come back in the game because we all know how good they are late in the game. But, you know, right now San Jose needs to take a look at the shot volume, at the turnovers they were creating, their pace of play. I loved how aggressive they came out in the first period. That was something else that I really, really enjoyed about the game. That's got to be something that they can replicate. I also look at the way they played in the second period. They managed the game better. You know, we saw their game management in different games over the last couple of weeks in which they'd been, you know, winning more and earning more points, but they still found themselves, you know, allowing the other team to take control of the game in the second period. This was a game where San Jose was able to manage the game much better for half of the second period, and really for more of the second period. You could just feel the ice start to tilt. St. Louis got more shots on goal. They were looking like the more aggressive team. They had more ozone time, although they didn't take the lead on San Jose, but they did look like they were getting themselves more into the game. So San Jose, I think, learned a little bit where, yes, their game management was more effective in this game, but they also still gave up you know, more shots, and then the ice started being tilted more in the favor of St. Louis. And that was a trend that continued on into the third period. And then again, you get your opportunistic moments when you're on the power play, and whether it was in the third period when they gave up the shorthanded goal or at other points of the game when they had the power play, they were not opportunistic enough to take advantage of those moments. Because yes, we know a good kill, you can derive momentum off of that as well. But when you score a goal and you've got a packed house like you did last night, you've got the energy on the building, everybody's waiting to go nuts. Power play goals swing momentum, particularly at home. They give you energy. They set the crowd on fire. Everybody gets excited. Everybody gets pumped for the action. And, you know, that was what was missing from the game. You know, the goals were great. Obviously, Fabian Zetterlund with the beard celebration, Toffoli from behind the net to find Luke Cunningham. Those are great plays. I'm not denying any of that. Mackenzie Blackwood made some great saves as well. And those were all momentum moments, and the penalty kill for San Jose, you know, they had some great moments as well. But in that instance, they couldn't come up with the specific answer. And, you know, they were 0-for-5 on the penalty versus, or 0-for-5 on the power play, and the Sabres were 0-for-2. And I would say that, well, nobody specifically, you know, had the better stats. If you get a shorthanded out of that and then you shut down five opportunities for San Jose, yeah, Buffalo won the special teams battle. And that is so very often where games are decided, because when we get to the end of this game, it's a one-goal game, 3-2. You give up an empty netter, and then suddenly it is a too-little-too-late situation in a game that I know that everybody really wanted to win, because, you know, you had guys out there like Mario Ferraro, who used to play with Jumbo, and you had, you know, so many guys who could feel the energy from the veterans this weekend, and the guys, you know, the retired players who were excited to show up and cheer on San Jose. I mean, That's not lost on the players. I think they probably, in watching that ceremony, looked at everything that was going on and, you know, could feel the vibe of how it used to be in San Jose. And it did feel like that last night in the building. There was a lot of that energy. There was a lot of that overall power. So to watch everyone take it all in, I think that it was a learning moment for them, as well as an opportunity to, you know, continue to work on their craft. But in this game, the Sharks just fell short. And, you know, it's tough because Carl Grundstrom was being chased by the puck all night, right? Like, the puck kept finding him, and because that was a testament of his good work. And then how many times did Tyler Toffoli get deep in the slot with a grade A opportunity only to find some part of James Reimer's body? I mean, there was a little bit of a snake bit aspect of it because Tyler Toffoli did his job. I've seen him score that goal. It puts his big butt to work and gets into the slot and finds himself an open opportunity. And then James Reimer just got in the way every single time. I mean, that was just ultimately a very frustrating night, but you still saw the Sharks doing good things. And that's sports, right? Like Tyler Toffoli, we're going to see that same opportunity coming up against LA on Monday night. And I'm not going to be surprised in the slightest if he buries it, because he knows how to do that. I'm not going to be surprised in the slightest if we see Carl Grundstrom play that same game and get rewarded with a goal. And I actually thought that Kalyn Coston at various points of the game played a very nice game and looked like he was being rewarded for his hustle and his effort. Macklin Celebrini and Will Smith, they had some incredible interplay creating opportunities. That's going to get rewarded, right? Like, that's going to yield to a goal. I thought that, you know, Alex Wennberg, even beyond being a part of that goal by Luke Cunningham, I thought he was playing a great game. There was great performances out there on the ice all over from San Jose, and they deserved more than the two goals, but that's not the way it was working in this game, unfortunately. James Reimer, he plays well in this building. I mean, when he had his great season a couple years back with San Jose, particularly in the first half, you know, he can stand on his head at time to time, and James Reimer has been in the league for a long time, and he showed you exactly why last night. And, you know, Mackenzie Blackwood also made some incredible saves. You know, I thought that, you know, the first goal, that was a very tough save if he was going to make it, whatever. But, you know, you give up a handful of goals and your offense isn't clicking, especially not taking advantage of the power play, it's going to hurt you when all is said and done. But I really liked a lot of what I saw in this game from San Jose. It's unfortunate that they were not able to walk away with a win, but hopefully they will find an opportunity to do so, you know, sooner rather than later, because I know that this team feels like they are taking great strides, and it's just a matter of them figuring out, you know, how they're going to find that best opportunity for them to get a win in regulation and to really take that next step, because it does feel like it's coming. Let's get in some post-game sound from head coach Ryan Warsofsky. Here he is talking about some of the issues in the third period.
Yeah, we had some puck play issues. We have pucks on our stick in the defensive zone, and we don't get pucks out. We don't make a play. And next thing you know, it's in the back of our net, and then obviously they score the short inning goal.
And we've seen those issues rear their head in the past in this season. San Jose had been a little bit better at that as of late, but it just shows you the non-linear progression of the team. You take a couple steps forward, you take a couple steps back, and hopefully that's something that San Jose can rectify in the near future. More from Coach on the first 30 minutes of that game, and if that's what he'd like to see from a complete 60-minute performance from San Jose.
Absolutely. I thought we did some really good things in the second period. Look, we had some chances to score goals and really open that game open, and we just don't put it in the back of the net. So that's the frustrating part a little bit. But, yeah, we did some really good things in the second period. Got to the inside of the ice more, played a little bit faster in the neutral zone, which is something we've talked about here as of late. Got to continue to work on the other side of the puck.
And he's right about them having those opportunities to take control of the game. You know, Tyler Toffoli had those chances in the slot and was not able to find the back of the net. He only found James Reimer. You know, they had multiple opportunities where Reimer made some ridiculous saves. He had the one where he was falling back and it came out of his glove and then he grabbed it a second time. And sometimes, I think as the player on the ice, you see those guys making those saves and you think, God, this is not going to be an easy time scoring a goal like that. And Reimer was giving those vibes throughout the entirety of the game. And I give him a lot of credit, but you know, I think that the Sharks, we take away from this game a lot of the negative because they lost, but they were creating those chances. They did give themselves opportunities. They did find themselves on the power play. They did find themselves winning the shot clock counter early on. They did find themselves tilting the ice, you know, downward towards the defense, towards the O-zone. Those are the things that you want to see consistently. And I think that they got some clues as to how they can do that. They came out with great energy early in the game. They came out very much fired up. They were willing to put shots on frame. They were not being tentative. They were being aggressive. I thought, you know, Will Smith was aggressive. I thought that, you know, Macklin Celebrini was aggressive. I thought that Jan Rutta was more aggressive than he's been as of late. And I would like Jan Rutta to use that big right-handed shot more often. You know, those are the things that I look at from San Jose and think, okay, even though you lost this game, you've got to walk away with the positive aspects. You've got to walk away with the things you did well and use that to help this team get a better performance in the near future, because they've got three more games on this very important homestand in which they need to get some wins before they go out on, you know, arguably one of the most difficult home or road trips of the year, if not the most difficult road trip of the year. So hopefully for San Jose, they do take away the positives from this, because for half the game, they really played some good hockey. They really gave themselves not a blueprint per se, but showed what they are capable of in terms of the shot volume, in terms of the ozone time, in terms of puck possession. They did a lot of those things exceptionally well. It just so happened to be that they couldn't put the puck in the back of the net. That given enough time and given enough improvement with the team, will yield wins. I know that it's easy to come back and say, well, they didn't win last night. But yeah, they will get wins if they play that brand of hockey for a full 60 minutes, A, and B, if they just find themselves, you know, being the more aggressive team in various situations out there on the ice. I thought the power play actually was relatively aggressive last night and looked pretty good, but they just couldn't find the back of the net. They couldn't find their way through. They couldn't get themselves that big opportunity. Coach on Macklin managing his frustrations, of which I think you could see out there on the ice, but I didn't have a problem with it. And he was ticked off in the post game. So here's Warzo.
Yeah, I mean, he's a competitor. He wants to win. He wants to do well. I'm not going to ever take that away from him. It's an emotional sport. I get emotional. We all get emotional. That's why we do what we do. That's why we love what we do. So I have no problem with his competitive nature. He wants to obviously score and do it and help his hockey team, us as a hockey team, win. And sometimes when it doesn't happen, you get frustrated. That's life.
That is life, and Macklin Celebrini will learn more about life in the NHL from this point on. But, you know, an absolutely phenomenal night by everybody except for the final, you know, period of hockey out there on the ice. And you can't have it all. Obviously, the Sharks are still in a rebuild. It is the price of being so good for so long. And I appreciate the process right now with San Jose, because you do see the work being done. You do see the progress being made. No, it doesn't yield a result every night. No, it doesn't yield a win, a big comeback moment in every game, even though San Jose has certainly created their opportunities as of late. But you do feel like things are trending in the right direction. You watch Macklin Celebrini and you watch Will Smith play together. You see the way that Alex Wenberg keeps on playing better. You see Tyler Toffoli, you know, he's got the big money deal. He's playing his tail off, though, right? Like, he's not just resting on his laurels. He's showing all these young guys how it's done in the NHL. And I think that's so much fun to see. Fabian Zetterlund, William Eklund, you know, Carl Grundstrom. Jake Walman had another really good game last night, and he's come back with a fire under his keister since he was injured. I appreciate what's happening for San Jose, even if it doesn't always yield the happy result when all is said and done, because it is a process, and I don't want to borrow from the 76ers in the way that situation is gone. But you do look at all the talent that's here in San Jose. You look at what's been happening on the ice. You look at the opportunities they've given themselves. You look at the improvement that you're seeing, and you know that opportunity is coming. You know that opportunity to win is going to be more and more of their future. It's linear, right? Like, the Sharks took big steps forward as of late to get points in a lot of games. That means that in a non-linear fashion, there's probably going to be some steps backwards where they don't. But now they have this opportunity to get, with three more home games, to get some big wins, to get some points before they head out on the road. And one of the things that's fun to see for me is how angry Macklin Celebrini is after losing. And I know that, you know, you would think, Ted, why are you happy about that? Because he's living with Joe Thornton. And I think that one of the things that Brent Burns told me when we talked a couple days ago or weeks ago, whatever that was that, you know, it would be after a loss and everybody would be bummed and the bus would be dead silence, and you get Joe Thornton chirping up from the back saying, you know, lighten up, everyone. You're in the National. We got a game tomorrow night. Let's move on. And I think that Macklin Celebrini, if he's living with Jumbo, he's going to hear that message, because he's probably, you know, going to go home after last night. You know, he's probably not staying out with the party like Jumbo is, but he's going to go home. He's going to play some Fortnite maybe, and then he's going to see Jumbo in the morning, and Jumbo is going to tell him, kid, let it go. Move on to the next game. There's no point in focusing on the negativity from the last game. You've got to be able to put yourself in the right state of mind. You've got to be able to put yourself in the right physical place to go on and work for that next game and put out your best performance. And I think somebody who is as hyper-competitive as Macklin Celebrini is, he could probably get lost in his head a little bit. And so having Joe Thornton there to tell him to lighten up, you know, is the exact same thing that he needs. And it's a perfect fit to juxtapose, you know, the two very, you know, extreme sides of human personality. And it's just like Will Smith being with Patrick Marleau. You know, I think Patrick Marleau's a little bit more cerebral, and he's just going to go about things a little bit more routinized. And I think the Sharks probably had him live with Pat Marleau for a reason. Say, okay, this is a better match for your personality, or this is what you need to learn about being a professional. And for Macklin Celebrini, they probably saw Jumbo and said, okay, you need to learn about this to be a professional. And they saw the right fit. So, you know, these guys, they're so hungry. They want to win. They want to score. They want to do everything for the franchise. It just takes time. And I think I need to learn to be patient as well, because I act like Macklin and Will Smith are going to score a goal every single time they touch the puck, and they don't. And I almost act surprised by it. I should not be surprised. These kids are 18 and 19 years old, and I do say kids. All right, we're out of time. Congratulations to Jumbo. Nothing but love for everyone else out there in the Sharks world. For the San Jose Sharks, I'm Ted Ramey, signing off.
This podcast can be found on demand anytime on the Sharks Plus SAP Center app. All music by Yogi Yen.